While you're standing, we'd like to, before you're seated, to thank you. And, of course, Brother Rutledge, my sister called him, and since the heat wave was so intense, and asked if he would let us use the fellowship hall tomorrow for Mama's little birthday gathering. And he wholeheartedly consented. And I want to thank him, and I've already thanked him, and thank all of you. Of course, Mother was a member of this church, and you all know that. You've been very kind to her, and I want to thank you for that again. She's going to get to come back to church tomorrow, and I hope and pray it won't be too hard on her. And we'd like for you to help us pray. And she's going to celebrate her 100th birthday. Now, that's being here a while. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Of course, when her life is over, she wants to come back to this church and sit, lay right down here in front of this pulpit while Brother Rutledge preaches her funeral. And I think that's good and fitting. That's all settled and all fixed. Amen. So God help us all to be ready. Of course, if any of you can, and come by tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4, where you'll get a piece of her birthday cake. You don't eat very many birthday cakes. It's 100th. Do you? This will be my first one ever. Piece of 100th birthday cake. Amen. Lord bless you. You pray for her that she'll be able to stand that tomorrow. And then, of course, the trio's going to sing for her. Brother Rutledge will have something to say. And we're going to have relatives here. She'll have grandchildren, great-grandchildren here that this will probably be the closest they've ever been to an apostolic church. I'd sort of like to see something take place over there in that fellowship hall tomorrow that'd get a hold of people's hearts. Amen. Amen. It just thrilled me. That thrilled me. So God can do it. God can do it. Would you just pray that the Lord will have His way? Nothing would tickle Mama anymore. I know there's somebody get the Holy Ghost over there at her birthday party. Amen. That would sure thrill me. So let's just pray, and then pray for the service, and God will help me tonight. Amen. Lord, we are grateful to be here. Thank you for your lovely presence, for every testimony, every song. Thank you, Lord, for Mother's 100th birthday that'll be tomorrow. She lives. Thank you for this church being kind to have her over, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless each and every one, and let the will of our God be performed. Lord, bless this service tonight and help me to speak the things that you'd have me to say that would be true to your word. Lord, this is a good church and a good people. We thank you for them, Lord. Bless them and may they grow and in grace and knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior. Keep us ever in your care and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Why don't you turn around and shake hands with your neighbor before you sit down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. It's good to see you here. As we have already stated, it's a nice crowd for Wednesday night. Lord bless you. That's great. You can tell the strength of the church by the size of its Wednesday night crowd. That's right. I've heard that a lot. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a church where there's just a little handful shows up on Wednesday night. That's a weak church. I even like to see a good numbered prayer meeting, Sister Floyd. I just found out Brother Charles said we're probably grandpas in laws or something like that. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. Now, we love, as you know, we love Brother Sister Rutledge. They've been not only brothers and sisters to us and the Lord down through the years, but I consider them as a friend. And you know, when you can say that about a person and mean it because they have manifested themselves as such, that's a great thing. Amen? To be a friend. If you don't believe it, look into the Word of God to see what it says about it. Praise the Lord. I thank God for a good friend, don't you? So he asked me if I would fill in for him tonight as they would be away to this funeral. Wouldn't be able to get back. And I said, well, I'd be most happy to. And in fact, I would like to do so good tonight that I'd get to buy back that tape where I got my foot in my mouth here the last time I was here. Dear Lord, that tape got to Louisiana before I could even get out of there. You got to be a good one to get ahead of that guy. Amen. Now, let's see. This is the 1st of August, so I'm a little late to announce my attendance. I should have done it in June, but I wasn't here in June, so I'll have to do it now. My subject tonight is three words: love, honor, and obey. That's generally what takes place during June. But there wouldn't be anything wrong with having that in August. Is that right? Love, honor, and obey. That's all Bible. Amen. And we want to deal with the first one tonight just a little bit and see what it has to say. In John 13 and 35, it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Amen? Fact of business, how in the world can you say you love God if you don't love one another? For God is love. Amen? And if you know God and love God, you're going to love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have that love one to another. I appreciate what Brother Fred had to say in his testimony about just giving a good friendly handshake. Now, honestly, I don't know whether you've ever done it or not. I hope you haven't. Have you ever been to a strange church and had no one to shake your hand? Now, I don't care what kind of service they had, you'd sort of leave there let down. Well, huh? They may say they love the Lord, but they sure don't care about me. Huh? So maybe there's a little more to that good, friendly handshake than you might think so. Amen. Yes, sir. Then I've been to strange churches that I'd never been to before in my life, where those people I had never met would find a way and get to us real quick to shake our hand, thank us for coming, and inviting us back. That makes you feel good.
Amen.
You better believe it makes you feel good. Amen. So, you know, the first of all the commandments was to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with your soul, and your mind, and your strength. See? And when you love God like that, there's really not any room left here to let anything else come in and take over, really. Amen? When you love Him like that. When you love Him like that, you'll even love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I believe we've got to do that.
Amen.
I say, I believe we've got to do that.
Amen.
I just flat believe we've got to do that. Now, in saying this, there's something else I want to say tonight about this love business. You know, I believe I have been in churches where people said they love God. They'd even shout. They'd do a little bit of tongue talking too. And they acted like they love one another. But honest to the good Lord, I do not believe those people love their pastor. Now that was a little perplexing to me. Now I know you all love Brother Rutledge. See, I'm standing on good solid ground tonight. See, I'm on good solid ground tonight. But absolutely, that's the way it's supposed to be. This church will never go no stronger or no further, I think, than you can show your love and appreciation to your leader. Now, I believe that with all my heart. Amen. You do it, but I've no doubt you could love them a little more. Amen. So love, honor, and obey. All right. You got to love God before you can really love your neighbor, before you can love your fellow man. And then on top of all of that, God help us to love that minister, that shepherd, that leader that's given his life to the church. That's a couple of people that you have here as your leaders that's given their life to the work of God. That's right. That's to be appreciated. And I know you all appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Now, we've been privileged to visit the church a couple of times in the last year. I believe it's a year or so. And I learned something about this church. It's a beautiful new building, constructed beautifully. It's pretty on the outside, but it's absolutely flashing when you go on the inside. It's a beautiful auditorium. But the building would be absolutely nothing if all those pews weren't filled with beautiful people. See? That's what makes a church. So we've been there. We've seen those pews filled with people. We've seen them worshiping. And, of course, of late they've got a new pastor, a young man. But the old pastor retired from his church when he was 85. Now that's old. That's getting sort of old. Amen. But the last time I was there, I learned this. Now I want you to listen to this. I've got such high respect for those people. I tell this everywhere I go. That old beloved pastor that started that church from scratch, when he was a young man years and years ago, he took a chopping axe and a saw and went in and chopped out the woods and fixed a place to put the first little building. And most all of those saints there are people that came up under him, converted under him. He baptized them. They got the Holy Ghost under him. But they all love that old man. Why shouldn't they love that old man? But you know, when you get 85, and I'm not even 85, and it's happening to me already. You'll slip up here a little, you know. You'll forget some things. And then that mind will sort of trap you up. I heard a colored boy say at the nursing home today, he said, "Well, I tell you what, my mind just getting shot." Lord, I'm messing up. I've been knowing what's been the matter with mine. I got a sharp mind. But let me go on with my story. I learned something about this church that just excited me. See, when that precious old man, knowing that he was too old to pastor these people, but he loved them so until he was searching, hunting, and looking for the right person to come along to take it over where he could turn it over to him, they told me that a lot of times that he would get up and start a service singing "Home on the Range." Now, if Brother Rutledge ever do that, I hope and pray to God you'll stay saved. Bless his heart. Those people sit back there and sympathize with their blessed old pastor, knowing that his mind had slipped a little and he'd forgot that he is at church. Thought maybe he is still a young man, like those old Western songs when he's a young man, and he started his church service singing "Home on the Range." Well, those people didn't backslide. They didn't circle a petition. They didn't get rid of their beloved old pastor. They kept him until they could retire him honorably and had a capable man to take his place. You know what? That church is growing by leaps and bounds. See, God's blessing them because they was long-suffering to their dear old pastor, and when his mind got to slipping, they still loved him. They still put up with that, knowing that, bless his heart, he couldn't help himself. Huh? I hope you be a little more kinder and more patient with your old grandma and grandpa. We can't help it sometimes when we go slipping a little bit. You keep living and you'll slip a little too. Huh? Yes, sir. Do you ever see somebody looking for their glasses? Where are they? I don't know where I put them. I can't find those things and I can't see. You just keep living. Huh? Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Amen. Now that thrilled me to know that those people were that dedicated, that consecrated, and that long-suffering and that patient with their blessed old minister that couldn't help himself. He wouldn't have done that for nothing had he not slipped a little bit in his mind in that old age. But they still honor him, they still love him, they still respect him. Amen. And he's still a member of their church, and they've got him on pension. And pay him every month and will as long as you live. Amen. But their church is growing. Their church is going to town. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us to never get to the place to where you can't love, honor, and obey. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. So, I tell you one thing. He probably wouldn't acknowledge it, Brother Rogers, not as young as he used to be. Amen. But I know one thing, he loves the Lord and he loves all of you. And he'd do anything in the world for any one of you. Amen. You know that. And I appreciate it. I know that you all have stood by him all these years. I want you to know that I believe you always will. And God will bless you if you'll do it. Now then, let's slip on now to honor. Honor. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. If I can turn to these right quick. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. Turn with me, if you will. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. See, did you know that it said that? Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. See, God will honor you if you'll honor him. Amen. And if there's ever any body in the world that needs to be honored, it's our God. Amen. Look what he has done. And then you've got to think about the multitudes on the face of the earth into the billions. And then one day, out of all that population, he honored us enough to reach down and touch our heart and bid us to come to him. I can't understand. That blows my mind. God, why did you take time to fool with me? I was a nobody and a no good and still am. All I am and ever was and ever hoped to be is what God has done for me. But he touched me, see? He broke my heart. He brought me to an altar of repentance. And I thank him for it. Amen. And I want to honor him for that, don't you? Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Love. And we need to honor the Lord. If we'll honor him, he will honor us. God help us. You know, the Bible even teaches us to honor the Lord with the first fruits of our substance. Paul told us how often to do it on the first day of the week. And if you don't know what day that is, that's Sunday. Huh? You know, Malachi said, when you bring them all. What was he talking about?
He said, bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. See? See? Honor the Lord with the first fruits of the substance. Amen. Listen. I'll grant you, since this drought's been going on, that there's a lot of farmers in this heat area and drought area in several states that's been making these bumper crops for years and years and years and has been sitting sumptuous tables with all types of scrumptious food. A lot of them has never taken time to even bow their head and say, thank you, Lord, because they have been thinking they've been making all that themselves.
That's right.
See? A lot of you young people think because mom and daddy jerked you out of bed by the nape of your neck and the seat of your britches and got you off to school and made you get you an education where you could go out here now and get you a good job. You got a good job and you're just making good money and you no doubt are in debt head over heels and you think that you're doing all that by yourself. You're not. If it wasn't for the blessed honor and favor of the Lord and the mercies of God, there is not a one of us would have sense enough to walk out of this building tonight. So it's God's blessing, God's honor, God's mercy that we've got what we've got. Your clothes, your house, your car, your job. Amen. Your garden, your farm, your cattle, everything you've got comes from the bountiful hand of God. And especially that you've got in your soul, it comes from the Lord. Oh, Lord, no one could bring us salvation but the Lord. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, he proved to us his love. He died for us and shed his lifeblood for us that we could be saved. Well, we ought to honor him for that. Amen. Honor him. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I like to even see people honor the Word of God, the laws of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God. My, old Isaiah, when he went into the temple and the Lord's presence filled the temple, oh, Lord, he fell as a dead man. Ah, Lord, he said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But that lovely, wonderful Lord sent his angel with a live coal of fire right off of the altar of heaven and touched his lips and purged him. Amen. And then when the Lord said, who will go for me? Oh, Isaiah, yes. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. I send me. I'll go. See? We ought to honor the Lord, and I believe we do. Don't you? Thank God. Now let me take you to Romans 13 and 7. Romans 13 and 7. I wish I'd have had all these earmarked. Well, I could have turned to them right quick. Romans 13, 7. But while I turn to them, you can turn to them. See? That says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me tell you, you even need to honor one another. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my friend. That's my mother. That's my father. I still believe it's honorable to honor old aged people. I believe that's honorable. Amen. All of us wouldn't have a sidewalk to walk on had some old man cleared the wilderness out so they could have put 6th Street through here. Huh? He died at a young age because he did it. Huh? Everything we got, somebody's worked like a dog before us to hand it down to us. Amen. Lord, I see here we are sitting in a plush carpeted church with cushioned pews, electric lights,
and ceiling fans and air conditioning. When I can remember, we used to sit in old brush arbors and under old tabernacles on old rough boards, sitting on a piece of a sawed off of a log, turned up for the board to sit on. You had to sit still on seats like that. You wouldn't dare move. You better believe it. Amen. And the flies and the bugs and the mosquitoes and the gnats. Oh, I was preaching one time, I remember, under an old brush arbor, and the gasoline lantern was hanging up there making the light. I was preaching, oh, we was having a time, because there's more people in the outer circles of the light, right on the edge, listening, and you could see them smoking their cigarettes and their old pipes and smell them. But we was glad he's there. Nowadays, you get them around a Pentecostal campground or something like that, they run them off. Brother, we didn't used to run them off. Amen. We'd pray, we'd preach. Lord God, we said, Lord, get a hold of him. You can make him drop that cigarette, that old tobacco, that old pipe, and get him come to the altar. I remember one night I was preaching up a storm and doing the best I could. I know it wouldn't work 2 cents. But anyhow, I was doing my best. That's all a mule can do. Isn't that right? But anyhow, I saw that old fuzzy candle fly coming. And just at the time I had my mouth wide open, he landed way down on my tonsils. You couldn't get him up and you couldn't get him down. You talk about mopping both of them. Now, he mopped them good with all that fuzz. Well, what are you going to do? You can't quit at a time like that. You got to go on. Well, that's what some of us went through to get you to the place where you are today. You ought to thank God for that. I believe you do. I wouldn't want to have to see you have to go back to something like that. Amen. Yes, sir. I told one time I preached a 6-pound sermon. The reason I know I did, because while I was dressing for church, I had to step on the scales and weigh. You know, it's a very rare thing to have scales in those days other than cotton scales to weigh anybody, so I decided I'd weigh. So after I got through with church and I was sopping wet, you know, tie and everything, just sopping wet. Come in changing clothes to get in some dry clothes after church, I stepped back on the scales after I got dried up. I was 6 pounds lighter. But that was the service, you know. Singing, praying, preaching, working at the altar, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Hello. People prayed through, didn't they? Amen. Love, honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. Honor one another. When you honor the Lord, you will honor one another. And above all things, God help us to do this. I'm going to take you to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Turn with me. If you got your Bible, turn with me. Now, I'm not going to go too fast tonight like I generally do, because I won't take the time. I want you to get this. Is that all right?
Amen.
1 Timothy 5, I want to read the 17th and the 18th verse. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. I'm going to read it again. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and the doctrine. And now, you're not going to get by in just honoring your pastor. He is due double honor. Huh? And if you've just been given a single duty, you've got to double up. God will bless you for it. He'll bless him for it. And he'll bless this church for it. Amen. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Then a lot of people say, those lazy preachers, they don't do nothing. See? Where's your pastor tonight? He's doing the work of a pastor. Where are you going to be buried? In Alaska? If you are, he'll be right there with you and your family. Huh? How long are you going to be sick on your deathbed? Don't make any difference how long it's going to be. He's going to be there. Huh? His prayers is going to be with you. Huh? Isn't a man like that worthy of double honor? Oh, Lord, you can't buy a man like that. You wouldn't have enough money to buy him. And you, when you're caught without a pastor, a minister in times like that, and I've seen a few families that had no church connection, had no one for the Charles to turn to. That's the most pitiful people that I've ever seen in my life. So you're so blessed that you've got somebody that you can turn to that can help you in a time like that. Amen? So then, he's worthy of his home. Somebody says, well, he never works, and look how well he's taken care of. Oh, dear God, have mercy. Your bishop. If you paid him $1 million a week, it still wouldn't be too much. I think of all the weeks he got by on 50 cents. He's got a lot of catching up to do. And this church is how old? This church. Huh? 15? Well, I bet you he had some lean years when he came here. Oh, have mercy! But a lot of people forget that real easy. I'll tell you what. Now, I'm going to say this. I think I'm at home among friends. Amen. There was church people, supposed to be Holy Ghost filled people, that envied my little old kids when they were little of when I'd buy my ice cream cone. And some of them even had the audacity to say they were wasting the church money when I was working full time supporting my own family and buying their own money. Now that's why some churches like that don't never go very far. So if you'd go look for that church today, that church is not even in existence. Some of those people that made fun of my poor little kids and made them feel so terrible that they come home crying because they wanted some candy and ice cream just like the church kids wanted. And they made them feel bad about it because they thought that the pastor was wasting the church money buying his kids candy and ice cream. Amen. Some of those people that did that died some of the most horrible deaths that you could ever think of, and the ones that's not dead or backslid today, and where they had a church, there's not even a church building there anymore. See? You can't get by doing things like that. That's wrong. That's not showing decency or honor or respect. You know what? After I've had things like that done to me down through the years, I sort of guess got a turtle shell on my back, got a little heart. You know what I told the church at Fort Wayne when they voted me in as pastor, right? In the next service after they voted me in, I said, I got news for you now. You voted me in 100%, but you haven't got a perfect man. Right off the bat, I said, no doubt I'll make some mistakes and some poor judgments and things like that. And I said, something else I want to tell you right quick. Whatever this church pays me and the system that this church is going to pay me on is the system that you paid your other pastor on for the last 17 years. That the board agreed that we, and the pastor wanted me to come in exactly like he went out. I'm coming in the very same way. But when that money passes from the church to my pocket, it ain't none of your business what I do with it then.
Amen.
Did I tell him right?
Amen.
Amen. Like you lost your Holy Ghost when you got your Holy Ghost. Like you lost your Holy Ghost. Amen. But can't you imagine me? That was a boyhood dream coming through. When I used to stand in the cotton patch down here around Atkins Lake as a boy, see them big old long Cadillacs go by, me standing out there in that cotton patch up to here, someday I'm going to drive me one of them things. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not that I want to be a big shot, but I'm just getting old and decrepit and wore out and bad back and calluses on my feet. And my wife, 39, holding, bless her heart. She's sure been a holding a lot of that. But I said, Mama, let's do this. She tried to get me not to. I said, let's do it. And ride in style this last mile. Amen. Amen. So I didn't think, surely the church think anything, but some of them had something to say about it. You know, there's always a few like that. So one of the men of the church overheard it, and boy, he crawled their hump. He said, you ought to be ashamed to say that.
Amen. That's right.
That's what this man told them, and then he come and told me. He said, you ought to be ashamed. He said, I consider myself the poorest man in the church. And he said, I'm worth more financially than Brother Raines is. And said, he's worked all of his life for the Lord. And he said, if the man wants a good car, why can't he have it? He said, we should have bought it and give it to him ourselves. Amen. But he said, look what he's going to do with it once he's bought it. He's going to wear it out for the church. Huh? So we show with that. I said, well, next time we have a midweek service and they all there, I want them to go call you to the pulpit and I want you to tell them just what you told me. He said, I'll tell everybody. I said, good, I'm going to call on you. And he did. Huh? Some of them dropped their head. I guess it's the ones that's been talking about me. Huh? Why, it thrilled the daylights out of me when I found out Brother Rutledge got him a big Chrysler New Yorker. That's one of the softest riding, smoothest riding cars ever was. Well, he needs that in his physical condition and age on a long trip to that funeral and back. And he's going to rush to get back here tomorrow because he wants to be present for Mama Raines' affair because he wants to have something to say in it. He wants to be here. We want him here, don't we? Huh? Well, who would be so disrespectful to not honor him enough and wish him to have the best car that he can afford? Huh? See, you lose a blessing when you get into a foul spirit like that and go to begrudging somebody something that really they're worthy of. Yeah, I'd love to see one that had a gold hood on it, wouldn't you? Oh, yes, sir. I'd even like to see him have the finest there is and even have a chauffeur to drive it for him. Huh? And the chauffeur paid by the church.
Amen.
Just bring one day, you'd be in good shape. You just go to hoping and praying that that can take place. You'll be in good shape.
Amen.
Oh, you desire that for your pastor and want something like that for him
right
when he goes to get to know him. You see what God will do for you.
Right.
He do it. He do it. He do it. Oh, I believe it. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. So don't forget to give double honor. You'll be blessed if you will. Amen. Now let me see if I can find another scripture. I got to hurry up. Oh, Lord, that stinking clock. Amen. Somebody's been up there running it up, but it ain't going to do you no good. I want to take you to Joshua 24 and 24. Joshua 24 and 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Let's say obey.
Obey.
Oh, yes. Of course, 1 Samuel 15 and 22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice, and hearken is better than the fat of rams. So it has always paid us, even from a child, to learn obedience. Your mama would have been, my mama would have been your mama. You'd have learned that as a child. It pays to be obedient. Because she could make a peach tree switch
sing a tune on some naked legs. And I didn't mind that as bad as that backhanded slap I'd get right in the mouth. Woo! That would hurt. I never did like that. But I tell you, it'll sure make you sit up and take notice. Huh? But you think of what this fellow got into, Saul got into, when he failed to obey the Lord. See? See, a lot of people think that when God tells you to do this, thus, though, and something else, that you can go on and just sort of disregard it and disrespect it and go ahead and do as you please and all this, that, and the other. But look, whatever the Lord says for us to do, we must do it. And you will be blessed if you will. You will be greatly blessed. So I want to read you now Hebrews 13 and 17. So if you learn right off of the bat, especially when you come into the church, to obey the law, amen, you'll never have any trouble with this scripture I'm fixing to read you right now, which is Hebrews 13 and 17. It says, obey them that have... Should we say that? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable unto you. I got to dwell on this a little bit. Notice this. Now we're going to read this again, and I want you to look at this. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy. Now if you want to thrill Marvin Rutledge, you be kind and obedient unto the Lord, and do what He asked you to do, or what you know that He wants you to do. I don't believe He'll ask you to do too many things, but if you've been under Him very long, you know what He wants you to do as far as living holy, consecrated, dedicated lives unto God. Be faithful to the church with your prayers and your attendance and your finances. That gives Him joy. When He sees you here and He sees you enter into the service and you worship, you pray, you sing, you shout, you testify, you live for God, you witness for God, you bring new people unto the church, that gives Him joy. That thrills Him. But when He sees you missing church, when He sees you failing to do what you know you ought to do, He sees you making your car payments, but you forget to pay your tithe. And He sees you when He asks you to do this or that or the other, and you don't do it, and you fall slack. That hurts Him to the heart, and that disturbs Him to no end. I've seen Him when He was so upset He couldn't be still. That's what kills a lot of pastors. Huh? Yes, sir. Amen. So if you'll obey them that have the rule over you, knowing that they've got... He must give account unto God for each and every one of you. He's got to do it. There's no way out. And you know He wants to give a good report. And you know He can't give a false report about you. It's got to be a true one. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Love, honor, and obey. Let's say it. Love, honor, and obey. It'll work. And let me tell you this. I hope, pray to God, none of you have ever been guilty of this. If you have, will you promise me something tonight that you will never do it again? So help you God. You know, a pastor is just a human being just like you. He's got emotions and feelings and everything just exactly like you. All right? Let's say, for instance, you was going to have to do this service tonight. And the pastor being gone, you felt a heavy responsibility upon your shoulders. And you had prayed and you'd read and you had studied and you was tense and you was sort of uptight and you was wondering how you was going to do. And him being gone, and here he is, a church full of people.
and you come over here a little early and you tried to get away from everybody and you wanted to get relaxed and get your mind clear and everything before the service started. And then, guess what? I walked in the door about 5 or 10 minutes before church. And I said, "Brother, I got to talk to you. Can you talk to me?" Well, he stuttered and stammered around a little bit. "Well, you know, it's not very long to church. And I just sort of got over here to get away, to sort of get my mind clear and get relaxed good before church started. I just got to talk to you. It just can't wait." And then I just pushed myself on you, and I filled your mind with some of the awfulest stuff that ever was that I knew that would just break your heart into a thousand pieces. And there it was, 5, 10 minutes before church. And here you are. You've got to come out before those people with your heart bleeding, crushed, broken. You'd just like to get off somewhere and just sob and boo-hoo and cry. And you got to come out before these people and put a smile on your face and get up there and try to do something for that service that night. Amen. With all that horrible tale that's just been told to you. Amen. Dear God, I've had that to happen to me. I don't know if the times. And in the name of heaven, if you've ever done Brother Rutledge that away, would you promise me and would you promise God tonight that you'll never do that again as long as you live?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I said, amen.